Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Did you have a sweet sleep? Did you have a good night? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you're here today. Why don't we just go before the Lord in prayer? Give Him thanksgiving. Give Him praise. Give Him worship, because He is good and His mercy endures. And He is good and His mercy is here for you today. And you know what else is? He wants to pour out His mercy through you today. So we're just going to lift our hearts to Him, worship Him, and love Him for a few moments. And then I want you to turn and love the people around you. Just let love on purpose come out. Father, we worship You this morning. And we thank You in the name of Jesus. We give You praise. We give You worship. We give You honor. We glorify Your holy name, because You are good and You're merciful and You're kind and You're holy and You're worthy of our reverence. You're worthy of our praise in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. And now, Lord, we do just exactly what You've commanded us to do this morning. And we turn to one another and we love them with the love of the Lord. Give somebody a hug. Bless them real good. Say something good and kind to them.
She wanted to do You Are Good.
Is our God good today? Is He more than enough? Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Thank you. Well, can we lift our hands and just worship the Lord for a little bit this morning? We serve a great God, amen. We serve Jesus, our Savior. He is such a great God. Let's shout to the Lord this morning and worship Him together.
Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. What if we start off this morning with another blessing for someone? Y'all like somebody to be blessed this morning? Praise the Lord. Oh, happy music, please. Happy music. Debbie Phillips. Debbie? Debbie Phillips, are you here this morning? Better holler at me. I'm going for another name. Okay. She went to powder her nose. She did. I hear nothing. She's coming. This one, get the white one. Well, let's see. I don't have any guest speakers here, and I don't have anybody to receive a prize. So y'all just want to go to lunch? All right. Would you and let Aunt Marty know we're ready for her? Okay. Where's that Jeopardy thing again? It's like... On her way from where? Which county is she in? Sue, you know everything. Where is she?
Well, we can just open it for her.
We'll just open it for her? That's a good idea. We just open it for her and give it to her. You want to see what? Sure. Go ahead. Let's see. All right. It's heavy.
It's something good. It's heavy.
All right. Oh, this is so much fun. I get to open somebody, like a two-year-old that wants to open somebody else's present. Brenda, this is, where are those scissors? Quick, Alinda, before Debbie gets here.
We gotta get it open now.
I think we got it. This is from Sister Gloria, by the way. And this is a lovely, can you see? Before we don't have to haul it out, a cake stand. Oh, Debbie, wherever you are, you'll be so happy.
Yes. I'll be here.
Is she going to be here? Okay, who wants to come get this for her?
Debbie.
Debbie. You're not Debbie. You just want to come get it for her. Do you know Debbie, or are you just going to come? Huh? She what? She's your Aunt Debbie.
I'm good.
You have proof? Brenda, I am really putting you through it on this. Woohoo! Is this Debbie? All right,
all
Debbie!
Right.
Is it worth the embarrassment? They made me open it. It was their fault. In fact, there was a lady right over there. It's more her fault than anybody. She is a cake baker. All right. Perfect. Bless you. Should never be late for church. Brenda. Would you please introduce Marty?
Is that Marty?
Well, are you glad to be here this morning? Are you having a great time? Praise God. Well, we're so delighted this morning, I tell you, to have such special speakers with us. And I have to tell you a story on Marty. About 3 weeks ago, Marty came to speak to our ladies' Bible study. And she was such a delight that I didn't think that we were going to have her go home that day. I thought she was going to stay the whole day because we just kept asking her things and asking her things. And she was such a delight to be with. And she shared from the very depths and from the very bottom of her heart. So it's exciting to me this morning to get to introduce Miss Marty Copeland. Praise God.
you. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I was going to say I'm going to have someone come hold my stuff for me while I speak. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy and so excited that you're here this morning. I know it's not fun to get out early on Saturday morning, but just welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. I know Gloria and Terry and Kelly and I are so excited about today. And last night was wonderful. How many people were here last night? Wasn't that great? I tell you, the Word of God says that we should be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we got to hear Gloria Copeland last night teach us on faith and teach us on how to inherit the Word of God in our lives. And we should be imitators of those who are working the Word. Amen? I'm so honored to be in this family because I'm surrounded by women of faith. And I am constantly challenged and encouraged to walk by faith. And we are women of faith this morning. Amen? I want to read you a scripture from Genesis. Now, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 32. How many of y'all have that scripture in your Bible? Is anybody? Do you? You better look. Because I have this is a new translation of the Bible. This is the Women's Bible, written for women. It's called The Truth Behind the Truth. And this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 32. You don't need to look there because you won't have this verse. But this says that God woke up Adam, nudged him on the shoulder. This is before Eve was created. And said, Adam, I want to talk to you. I want to make you a helpmeet. I want to make you a partner to live on this earth and have dominion. Oh, and Adam, I want her to be wonderful. She's going to be so beautiful, Adam. And Adam, she's going to cook breakfast for you every morning. And when you wake up in the morning, there's going to be a hot meal ready for you. And Adam, she's going to cook lunch for you every day. And Adam, she's going to cook a hot dinner for you every night. And Adam, when you get back from playing in the garden, she's going to be dressed perfectly and have her hair brushed. And she's going to greet you with a big kiss and tell you how wonderful you are. And oh, Adam, she's going to adore you. She'll never argue with you. She'll always think that you're right. Oh, and she'll love you. I mean, really love you. Whenever you want her to love you, she'll love you. And oh, Adam, she'll just adore you. She'll prop your feet up. And when you watch NASCAR, she'll just think that that's the most wonderful thing to watch. And she'll just enjoy the noise and the excitement with you. She'll pretend that she's entertained watching cars go round and around and around and around for 3 hours in one little circle. And she'll watch basketball with you, Adam. And she'll love it. She'll root for your team. But, oh, Adam, there's a price to pay. Adam, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And Adam thought for a moment, looked up at God and said, what can I get for a rib? In the honoriest mood this morning. I did. I'm just excited to see what God's going to do today because I have no idea. No idea. None. I really don't. I've brought about 120 scriptures and 14 stories and 12 examples, and I have no idea. But I know that God is going to be faithful. And while I'm getting ready this morning to speak, I thought that we should listen to a song to get us in the mood. So I'd like for you to stand up, and if you're embarrassed to move around, or if you're a little old-fashioned or a little too religious, then just close your eyes and let the beat carry you. Because this carries our message for this conference to me today.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. First we hit y'all with the We Shall Behold.
then we hit y'all with the don't do it my way. Then we came with the hit, work it out. And now
of you out.
Not here, not here.
But I tell you, God led me to do that today. And I'm just excited about today. Amen. You know, I appreciate Gloria and Terry and Kelly putting up with me and you know, we're just all so unique in the Lord, aren't we? And while we're supposed to be imitators of those who faith and patience inherit the promises, do you know all of us represent a part of God's personality that is unique to us? And I love the differences. You know, years ago, when I was in my early 20s, years and years ago, I used to think that people should be like me. And I used to think that it was unusual when people would say certain things or do certain things, and I'd think, well, I don't know why they think like that, or I don't know, you know, this or that, kind of a prideful attitude, an immature attitude, a young and stupid attitude. But I love the differences now. I love the differences. And we are all so different. From body types to hair color to personality, we're all so different. Now, let's go over to the book of Ephesians. While you're turning over there, speaking of different, I'd like to introduce some of my friends that are here today, because I'm so very blessed that I have such wonderful friends. I have a group of ladies that we have a Bible study. We study the Word of God together. We read different books together, and it has really brought me out of my shell in the last couple of years doing this. And, you know, Gloria may be thinking, you need to get back in, Marty, but wilder than I expected it to be this morning. But you know, I grew up with five older brothers, and I was convinced in my life that I enjoyed hanging out with guys growing up better because I just liked guys better. There wasn't as much female stuff. But I realized as I got involved with this group of ladies that I had convinced myself of that because of some dysfunction in my life, and that I was actually a very insecure person. And that being around women, there was more jealousy, competition, that kind of thing. And I just flat couldn't handle it. So I withdrew in many ways and just preferred to be around, have friends that were guys, different things, because I just really wasn't a whole person. And as I hung around these ladies, I just became more whole and more whole and more whole. And I wanted to talk about them a minute this morning. We call ourselves the deep stirring group. And it's not because we're so deep, but it's because we get together and God stirs us deeply. Amen? And that, or we're a little deeply disturbed, one or the other. Marcy, Laura, Wendy, Karen, Galen, would y'all stand up for me? Please clap for them. These are some of my dearest friends. Now, stay standing, Galen. Marcy and her husband, Steve, they're pastors of James Avenue Church in South Fort Worth. And Marcy has blessed me so tremendously because she has such a gift of mercy in her life. And she has brought an area of God's personality to my awareness that I never knew. So thank you, Marcy. You can sit down. Thank you, Marcy. I love you too. And Laura O'Brien. Laura used to be a CPA for Arthur Anderson many years ago, but when I met Laura, she was a stay-at-home mom and has been for 13 years, and she's getting ready to go back out into the workforce, but she's so humble. She is such a good mom and never talked about her past, and when I found out how much accomplishments that she'd had in the working world, I was just very impressed by the fact that she didn't talk about that, and that was not how she identified herself, but she has such a passion for God. And if you ever need prayer, you need to talk to Laura. Thank you, Laura. You can sit down now. And Wendy Dermont, her husband Tom, they're also pastors at James Avenue Church. Now, Wendy is the mother of 7 boys. Ooh. So keep Wendy in your prayers. But Wendy's been so awesome for me because, you know, I get a little challenged with my 3-year-old that some of y'all heard my story in the ladies' Bible study that wants to be the boss. And when I'm around her, she just reminds me of how motherhood can really be with so many children and how blessed I am to only have 3. She has the grace to do it, but it really encourages me. And thank you so much for your gift of love and strength in that. Wendy, thank you. Karen? Oh, does anybody in here know Karen Kelly? She is something else. She has a gift. She's an artist, I guess you could say. She paints. She loves art. She works at the Kimball Art Museum in the Descent. Is that what it's called? The Descent? Huh?
A docent.
Oh, I wasn't even close. But they do tours at the Kimball, and this woman can challenge you to find God and look at God in a way that is just simply beautiful. I mean, she can just reveal God to you in so many different ways, and she has challenged us to expand our thinking and take the limits off God. That's one of the books that we're reading. Thank you, Karen, for being so creative. Galen, I'm not going to cry when I talk about Galen. Galen is such a close friend of mine, and we have, I love you so much, and we have worked out together for many years and shared much sweat and many stories. We know just about everything there is to know about each other, and I just love you so much. Her husband works here at the ministry, and he and John and I and Galen are close friends, and I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for this group of ladies, truthfully. So, Galen, I love you. Thank you. And then I have 2 special guests from out of town. Would you stand up, Terry and Robin? This is my friend Terry Deckard from Houston. She came in for the meeting, and Robin Hancock is from Maui. Everybody should have a friend from Maui. And she came in for the meeting and for a trip. Galen and Terry and Robin and I are driving to Arkansas this afternoon after the meeting for 4 days and for a trip. And I just thank you for coming. And Terry has a Exodus Force Initiative nonprofit. And she was showing me pictures last night that she just recently took in Zimbabwe, Africa. And the ministry had sown $10,000 toward this relief. And they had gone in and helped this farming family. They were going to lose everything. It was a small farm. And the money that the ministry donated helped them grow all of these vegetables to feed people. And Lillian DeFinn, who was her grandfather? Smith Wigglesworth was her great-grandfather. Lillian DeFinn and her husband are the ones that worked on this farm and helped build all this water irrigation. And it just impacted so many lives. So thank you for being a part of that. Robin and her husband have a church in in Maui, and Robin was delivered from an eating disorder from listening through my products, and contacted me, and I went and spoke at their church, and we've just been great friends ever since. So thank you so much. And I want you to know, not just that I love my friends and that my life has changed because of them, but that God really spoke to me this morning about the flow of this meeting and to really flow in Him. And I felt like it was so important that we recognize the gifts in one another, ladies, and the uniqueness that we each have. And I know I'm speaking this morning to a group of mature believers, but I tell you what, the things that some women do and the things that some women say are just so hurtful. And I just want you to, I hope that seeing this has encouraged you. It's really just been, I'm 41, and it's really just been the last 5 or 6 years of my life that I have stepped into a place of friendship at this level. And it is just, I'm just so grateful to have women to support me in prayer. Now this group, this is not a gossipy group. We don't get together and talk bad about people. We don't get together and share secrets that are confidential. We are attempting to be women of God. But what we do share are the things that stir on the inside of us about what is God is doing in our lives, and the strengths that we each have, they just, you know, iron sharpens iron. It just empowers one another. It just empowers one another. And I was impressed to read from Ephesians, if I can find this, my notes. I had some organized notes, and then I listened to Gloria last night, and the Lord took me a different direction for today, and, you know, I could go on and on, but I had planned on having some extra time this morning. I didn't factor in the children thing, that my children would be up during that time. So I cooked breakfast and changed diaper and all that stuff. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints as consecrated people up in Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard heights of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in Him. There is a unity of our faith that is why I'm so excited about this meeting. When we decided to do this meeting, and I just thank you so much for coming, because, you know, there was another meeting this weekend, and it was Mother's Day, and I want you to know that when I scheduled this trip, I didn't realize it was Mother's Day, this trip I'm going on out of town. I did not realize it was Mother's Day. I realized that later, and it was already done, so I didn't want to change it because I had friends coming in from out of town. I knew we'd never do it. But the point is that I was so excited about all of us being here. We've got people from like Country Christian School. We've got faculty. We've got friends. We've got people. But we are so unified in our faith as we come together to hear the Word of God and let the Word of God change us. And I'm just so encouraged that today that this meeting, I just have felt like in my spirit that this is a breakthrough meeting of the women of this community coming together. And I know many of you are from out of town, but I feel like Terry talked about, you know, last night, the door of the past closing when Evelyn Roberts went home to be with the Lord, that there was a door that closed. And there is such an awareness in me of this move into a new place among women. Amen. And I just hope that in your own churches, and as we can come together just in a larger facility to unify in our faith, that you'll take every opportunity not to miss out on coming and listening to women like Gloria Copeland that can teach you what she's been spending 35, 40 years practicing. And we can come in an hour and a half. I learned so much last night. And it was so, you know, because she said we need to hear the same thing over and over. But how many people got the slack jerked out of them just a little bit last night? How many people were just reminded to watch your words? Watch your, how foundational is that? That goes back to the scripture that says the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Everything that we see was created out of Word. In the beginning was the Word. Words, words, words. We've been taught that forever, but I'm telling you, I have to constantly be reminded to watch my words. Well, faith, as Gloria taught it last night, you know, there's something about faith that God has really been speaking to me about lately. And it is the capacity for faith to move us to a place. You know, there is mountain-moving faith. And Gloria talked about last night in the scripture, Mark 11:23, when it says that you speak to this mountain, be thou removed, and it says it's the God kind of faith. And she was pointing out that there is a God kind of faith. Well, obviously, if there's a God kind of faith, there's an ungodly kind of faith. The ungodly kind of faith is what's talked about in 2 Corinthians 10:3, when it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many people here feel like they're fighting a war? Well, every hand should be raised because we are at war. And if you're not aware of that, then you need to wake up this morning and realize that we are at war, ladies. And the war is about your faith. It is about, are you going to do what Gloria said last night and release your faith and exercise your faith to walk in the realm of promise? And that was the title of my message today, was Living in the Realm of Promise. So I can see now how God's getting me to it. But you know, in order to live in that realm of promise, you have to use the God kind of faith. And so in that scripture, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Let's just turn over there. Why don't we do that? Be a good idea. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, talking about the God kind of faith, what I'm referring to here is that there is a stronghold, ladies, that we build up in our thinking, that we build up in our lifestyle, that we may operate through habits, overeating, not exercising, just picking two out of a hat, and... And, you know, not being faithful to get up and pray every morning, not being faithful to put the Word of God first place. Why are we not doing those things? Well, this word stronghold, that it's defined as a fortress, and it means that it's where we place mere human confidence. In other words, if we have a stronghold in the area of our eating, we may, I know years ago I talked to a woman who was morbidly obese. And she had been, she had gone through some things as a young girl that made her want to be unattractive to men. She had self-hatred going on. She did not want to be attracted to men. She was very depressed, suicidal. And she found that when she overate in the evening, that it sedated her. And really all she wanted to do was sleep because she was depressed. Well, see, Hebrews 5:13 and 14 says, through practice, we train our senses to discern good and evil. Well, if you can, by doing the right thing over and over and over again, like eating the right foods, train your senses to discern good food. Has anyone ever done that? Where you eat healthy, there are studies that show if you eat healthy enough for a long enough period of time, that's the key, not for 3 days. That for a long enough period of time, you can actually train your sense of taste to prefer those good foods. Did you know that? Well, likewise, if you train your flesh to discern that if I eat a lot of high-fat, sugary foods at 8 o'clock at night, it makes me sleepy. Well, if you're depressed, that could be a good thing, so you think. Because you don't want to be awake, you want to escape. I mean, this is what this woman told me. I just want to die. And when I overeat, it makes me go, it's like taking sleeping pills or sedatives. Amen? So she had developed this stronghold in her thinking that food was meeting a need in her life that it was impossible for food to meet. Right? Jesus left and said, I'll send you a comforter. He didn't say, I'll send you comfort food. But that's what we do. We turn to food for comfort, but the Holy Spirit is the comforter. So if we train ourselves in a way, we develop a stronghold. It's a scripture that says when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow, if you do things that are not good for you, and you keep on doing them, you continue to sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. What does that word corruption mean? It means a worsened state. You do not stay the same. You get worse. Or as my daughter would say, worser. And you get worser and worser. So you develop this stronghold in your thinking. Now this stronghold means that you're believing something that's not really the truth of God's Word. You're believing that food is comfort to me. Well, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit is your comfort. But see, you've developed a stronghold. You've developed something in your mind that when the stress comes, when the pressure comes, it connects food with comfort. That's a stronghold. But that's mere human confidence. It's not the God kind of faith in Mark 11:23 that moves mountains. It's a mere human confidence. So what I want to talk about today is focusing on your faith, specifically the God kind of faith, that if you can find a promise in the Word of God, then you can connect God kind of faith to that promise. You can live in the realm of promise. As long as your promises are in the Word of God, you can live in the realm of promise. For example, for years and years and years, and I know y'all have heard my testimony many times, but it's the only one I have. So I'm going to tell it again because faith comes by hearing. And hearing and hearing and hearing. Some of y'all are like, yeah, and hearing and hearing. But, but you know, many years ago, I was very overweight. I could not control my eating. I had an eating disorder. I hated my body. I hated the way that I looked. And I had all kinds of strongholds in my relationship with food. Well, Gloria began to preach on the goodness of God. And she may have been preaching that all of her life, but I began to hear it. And Kenneth began to preach on the anointing. And he preached that Christ is not Jesus' last name, but it is burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. And I got this revelation. I thought, okay, Romans 8:28 says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. If we're called to be conformed to that image, there must be supernatural power available, or God wouldn't be just. Why would He call us to be like the Son of God and not help us? So if we're supposed to be like Jesus, well, who is Jesus? He is love. He's joy. He's peace. He's gentleness. He's kindness. He's meekness. He is self-control. Aha. Eating, self-control. Getting the connection here. Exercise, endurance, faithfulness. Self-control, endurance, faithfulness. If I could bottle those three things, I would be the wealthiest person on the face of the earth. But it's in us. When you're born again, it's not your job to produce the fruit of the Spirit, is it? A baby doesn't produce itself. When you had your child, it wasn't that baby's responsibility to be born. No, God recreates your spirit in His image. There is a new birth. He is your Father. It is His responsibility to recreate you in His image. And within that image is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control, faithfulness, and endurance. Against such there is no law. You have everything in you, the fruit of the Spirit, but you have to develop it. And it's just like Boria said last night, it's through faith and patience. Just like my three-year-old Alex, she is fully developed in that. She has her arms and legs and fingers and toes, but I don't let her drive the car. Well, actually, I do. I let her drive in my lap yesterday out on a backcountry road, but and she did a pitiful job. To let her drive by herself would be a huge mistake. My point is that the fruit of the Spirit is in us. It is up to us to mature. It is up to us to sow and reap. If you want more self-control, this is how it worked for me. I would get my plate of food when I was a glutton. I would get my plate of food. But the reason, it wasn't like I just loved food. I hated it. I mean, I have worked with so many women with eating disorders. It is such a love-hate relationship with food. You hate the fact you can't control what you eat. You don't want to overeat. It's like you're just compelled to do this. It is I'm telling you, there are spirits that influence us. And you overcome that with the Word, with the blood. You have to rebuke that. But you have to take the Word of God and do what it says do. And you have to have faith in the promises of God, like Gloria said last night, and do it. You have to be a doer of the Word. So if the law of sowing and reaping, if it says you can sow and whatever you sow, you'll reap. And, you know, God, they've been telling us that for years, that you're a product of today, of everything you've sown yesterday. Well, if you want more self-control, sow self-control. Now, there was a day, Gloria, this may be a surprise to Gloria, or she may have heard me say this. I don't know that I've talked about this specifically, but when we would go, John and I were first married, nobody knew the bondage I was in. I mean, everything looked all right on the outside, but I would cry myself to sleep. And it was the last thing I thought about when I went to bed, and the first thing I thought about when I got up was, how much do I weigh? Did I exercise this morning? How did I eat? I was just ridden with shame and guilt. Totally in bondage, living a miserable existence, surrounded by blessing, great husband, great family, so much stuff. But how many people here have ever been in bondage? I mean, it's tormenting. It's tormenting. And I begin to see that if you can sow, that you will reap in the Word of God. And I realized that I could sow my way out of this. And even though I felt like I had no self-control, I found in the Word that self-control was in me. So I began to sow self-control in my eating. And I would get my plate and, you know, I would try to fix a normal amount. And I would eat most of it, but not all of it. And I would sow what I didn't eat as self-control. And then I would take my tape to the gym and get on my treadmill. And I would sow that as faithfulness and endurance. And it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. And within 1 to 2 years, I would say that I was in victory. And we would, when I was in so much bondage, we'd go out to eat. And I remember I'd watch Gloria, and Gloria just seemed like she was the epitome of self-control. And she would, you know, you've heard Kenneth talk about the story, she'd take a bite of chocolate. I would sit there and watch her eat a dessert, and I'd think she'd have one bite, and I'd think, you know, either don't eat any of it, or eat two, you know? Like, what is up with that? And I think, that is just so, this is what I think that is just so not in me. Like, whatever she has that she can eat one bite and stop, I don't have that. But I found out in the Word I did, amen? See, this whole Christianity thing is about Satan not wanting you to realize who you are in God. Amen? Is that right? You know, it just steps on our religious toes and almost seems blasphemous for us to say, I'm like God. Ooh, there's probably a few of you in here, just me saying that. Gotcha. But, you know, we're created in His image. We're predestined to be like Him. There's supernatural, burden-removing, yoke-destroying power available to get us to that place. It is in us. I remember when I did a Rise and Walk years ago, the teaching of that video, and I remember one time talking about this class, and I think Courtney was about 11 or 12 months old. And I remember watching her walk, you know, when she learned how to walk. And I would be out at, you know, you go to the doctor a lot when you have babies, and I'd be out, and I was always around infants, and I would notice that when children would start learning to walk, that everyone in the room would just be like, oh, that's so good, including me. It's a very exciting moment. Now you tell me, what's the big deal about walking? I mean, think about it. We all walk. We walk everywhere we go. They're destined to walk. but they take those first steps, and you think they just invented some life-changing discovery. They walk. They took a step. But I thought, that is so God-like for us to think that's such a great thing, and yet it's predestined. It is predestined in that child to walk. He doesn't fall down and not get back up. And he doesn't fall down, and I've probably read this example. These words are, this might be something Gloria preached. I don't know where I get all this stuff, but this is just coming to me about that example of, it is in us to be like God. It is in a child to walk. It is just in us innately to do that. Well, I'm telling you, people, it is so in us to walk in victory. It is so in us to walk in health. It is so in us to walk in prosperity. It is so in us to walk in joy. It is so in us to get victory over our weight. It is who you are. You are self-control. You are self-control. I'm telling you, when the enemy comes at you and says, you can't do that. You can't control what you eat, you big, fat, ugly loser. Does the devil talk to y'all like that? He is mean. You just tell him, no, I have self-control in me. I can control what I eat. I have endurance in me. I can go to the gym, and I can be faithful to keep on doing it. When somebody gets a new car, God blesses him, don't be jealous. Know that that is in you to do that. You should never be jealous of the blessings of God in somebody else's life, because it's just like them walking. They are just following in the image of their father. How can you be a Christian and not be prosperous? It is in you to be prosperous. It is in you to have a beautiful home. It is in you. Now, it's up to you. It's a choice. If you choose not to walk in that, that's your business. I hope that you come around. But I'm telling you, I'm not stopping and I'm not quitting until I have all of the promises of God. All of the promises of God. I am not stopping, and my desire is to walk in a higher level of health that I have ever known. And the world says, well, that switches as you get older. Hi, Linda. I know you were here. But you know that my goal is to walk in a higher level of prosperity. My goal is to walk in a higher level of joy. And that's a great thing about God. You can't exhaust Him. You're not going to outdo God or outgrow God. There is always more. There is always more. I'm thinking about Gloria last night talking about Kenneth saying, I just want to get something good for you. Well, I'm not to that place where she is. I have a list of about 200 things. I mean, there's a new house, there's new furniture, we just have so much. We're not at that place where she is yet, but it's coming. It's coming because it is in us, because God's blessing is in us. Let's see, where is the scripture? Living in the realm of promise. Promise, an agreement or covenant to do or not to do something. An indication as of a successful future, to give a basis for expecting. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God are yes and amen unto the glory of God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:4, I love this scripture. Let's turn over there. How much time do I have? Am I supposed to quit at what time? Huh? 10:15? Okay. Second Peter 1:3-4. I'm going to read from the Amplified. For his divine power, this is really a King James Amplified. It's not really a women's version, women's translation. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited. I'm not as smart as I am sometimes when I get up here. I can't read. I get nervous. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite. How do you say that? Requisite. Duh. Okay. I promise if I was down there, I would have known that. Requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about being called to His glory and His excellence. It's about you have got to prosper. You have got to have a beautiful home. You have got to have a beautiful car because it's unto His glory and excellence. And there are people around you whose very future of prosperity hinges on what you're walking in or what you're not walking in. It is not all about you. Amen? If you don't want to have a nice house and car, do it for your neighbor. Amen. Bring them up. Hallelujah. Verse 4, by means of these, He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of lust and greed, and become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. It is through the promises of God that we take on His nature. If you're living in the promises of healing, that's awesome. That's great. You're going to walk in some of the nature of God because God's nature is wholeness and health. And you're going to experience that part of God that wants you whole, that wants you well. But if you're not partaking of the promises of God, the great and precious promises on prosperity, you're not partaking of the divine nature of God that is who He is in the area of prosperity. That's like your child learning how to walk. That's great, but maybe they don't know how to talk. That child's not whole. If you're walking, you're learning and studying and walking in health, that's great, but if you're not walking in prosperity, you're not whole. Amen? God is all those good things. He is all of those good things. Great and precious promises. Amen? And this is so significant to me. Verse 2, where it says, may grace, God's favor, and peace, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you, how? In the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And then in verse 3, I'm going to read it again. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness, through the full personal knowledge of Him. In the King James, it says, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Everything that we receive from the Word of God, everything that we're believing God for, it must come how? Through the knowledge of Him. You're not going to just start blindly praying some prayer that you want and necessarily have it manifest. These great and precious promises that we partake of, it comes through knowing God. Why does God want us to know Him? That's why we're here. He created us to have family, and He designed the Word of God that you can't get to the promise without coming through Him. You're not just going to have, boom, a bunch of prosperity dropped on you. He wants you to get at it through Him. Gloria said last night that word seek means to research. He wants you to know Him in every area. Know Him in the area of healing. Know Him in the area of wisdom. Know Him in the area of grace. Know Him in the area of mercy. But you're going to have to spend time with Him to know Him. You want a new car? You're going to have to spend time with Him in the Word of God concerning love. You're going to have to spend time with Him concerning goodness. Your faith is going to come through the knowledge of Him. In Philippians 4:10, Paul said, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, and in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection." You want power in your life? You want burdens removed? You want debts canceled? You want blind eyes healed? You want to lay hands on the sick? You want power? You can only get at it through knowing Him. And the promises of God are God. They're Him. The promises are Him. When the promise was given to Abraham, let's see, where is that scripture? in my notes. Let's see. Let me think. Galatians. Let's turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, there's so much in here, I don't have very much time. The Galatians 3, 14, talking about the promise given to Abraham, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus, the Jesus that is the Son of God, who shed His pure blood to pay the price for all your sin, so that you have no shame and no guilt and no condemnation. That Jesus with burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. The Jesus that faith took to the cross, the Jesus that faith raised from the dead. That Jesus. The Jesus that has the power of God, if you have faith in Him, to heal any part of your body, to restore any part of your mind, to deliver your family, to heal your finances. It's that Jesus that we're talking about. Amen? To the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham, the blessing. Abraham, they can't have a baby. But Abraham, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In you, the plan from the beginning, just like through Adam, you know, God had a plan before Adam and Eve. Amen? Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the earth. Before Adam, Abraham, God would promise to Abraham, I'll multiply you, I'll bless you, I'll fulfill this plan through you. In your seed, and the scriptures say, not seeds as of many, but one seed, meaning Jesus, that seed. Why couldn't it be many seeds? Because it's not natural inheritance. It's not through natural inheritance that we are children of God. It is through faith in Jesus that we're children of God. And it says right here, promise to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of what? The Holy Spirit. There was a promise that a Savior was coming. There was a promise that blood would be shed to get us into right standing with God. Do you have faith in that blood? This sounds so elementary of where we all got saved and born again. But do you believe that the blood that was shed was to get you back in that place of right standing before sin ever existed? Are you aware of your right standing with God? Because quite frankly, that's what it's all about. It is not about what other people think. It is not about, you know, Gloria made the comment last night, you know, I don't know, you said something and you said, no, I don't give a flip what somebody else is thinking. I thought, you know, we should have an email address, don'tgiveaflip.com. And if you have a problem with driving a nice car, or you have a problem with living in a nice home, you can just email us at that address. Because why? Because the blood of Jesus paid the price for us to have all that there is on the earth. All things pertaining to life. All things pertaining to godliness. Does a home pertain to life? Does new shoes pertain to life? You know, these shoes carry the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need good shoes. I'm telling you, all things, all good things are here for God's children. And we have let religion, you know what religion means, right? Return to bondage. We have let religion come in and tell us, you know, it's okay for you to have that. A certain amount, but not too much. And I remember some famous guy, I won't say his name on television, saying, you know, one good suit for a preacher is one good suit too many. And I thought, there you go, that epitomizes religion right there. That's what we have grown up hearing and listening to. But that is so backwards. That is so distorted. That is so wrong. that God would have this plan from the beginning of before the foundation of the earth, and go to all this trouble, and then have Christians arguing among themselves about, you know, it's okay for them to drive a Chrysler, but a Lexus, you know, that's just wasting God's money. No. All things pertaining to life and godliness. All things pertaining to life and godliness. You know, there's so many promises. I'm not going to read all these. I've got like 50 scriptures, and I didn't bring them intending to read them, but I did have some headings here of scriptures under wisdom. Are you living in that place in God and the promises where you feel like you're operating in wisdom? Do you ever find yourself? I do this sometimes. I'm like, I just don't know what to do. I won't say that. I'll think that. I just don't know what to do. Well, I was challenged last night to go back to the scriptures that I used to confess, that some of them I've let slip. Scriptures on wisdom. Scriptures on health. Now, one I confess now that I used to not is that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And as Gloria says, you should start that one when you're young. Peace. I confess about peace a lot in my home. It gets a little noisy in my home sometimes. Sufficiency, strength, hope, and an expected outcome. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. We've got to get back to confessing these things. The reason that stress has become one of the biggest problems in the United States today is because we're letting these things slip. We're not finding the peace in the morning before the war begins. You have got to find the peace before the war starts. Mine starts at 7:30. When my kids get up, I don't mean that in a negative way. I love my children. I enjoy my children. But I'm just saying that if I get up early and go into that place in God and find peace, it equips me for the rest of the day. And if I don't, I'm telling you, I'm different. I'm not as patient. I'm not as kind. I'm not as gentle. It's just we have to take the time to put the Word of God first place. There's scriptures on strength, food. Those of you that are maybe really struggling financially, food, prosperity, houses. Deuteronomy 6:11, and houses full of all good things. And houses. You know what? This is like what I was talking about, people having a problem with stuff. And you know, like I said, send your complaint to www.wedontgiveaflip.com. But this thing on houses, I have heard that preached on houses, and it's saying houses. Well, I remember a few years ago, I thought, I don't remember it saying houses, plural. I don't know if Keith Moore or somebody was teaching that. And I thought, I have a choice here. I can latch on to that promise. It's my choice. One house, two, three. It's my choice because the provision is there. So guess which I decided to do? Houses. You know, there's such a desire in me. John and I live in a mobile home. We've lived in one for many years, and we're believing God for our home, this beautiful home. And there's such a desire in me to entertain in that home. I mean, I see women's ministry. I see people coming over and being able to be a blessing to faculty at Lake Country. You know, whatever. Just, I want to be a blessing. Well, would it be right for me to just give up and no? And I don't live in this mobile home the rest of my life. But no, it is. It would be like It would be like me taking Alex and holding her and not letting her develop into maturity. She would miss out on so much. That's not what's in her. She wouldn't be living at her potential. I'm telling you, you have one life. Take the Word of God. Take the promises of God for everything you can get out of it. If you see houses, believe for houses. If you see wholeness, believe for wholeness. If you see grace, believe for more grace. This last year, I had to get before the Lord and repent. I realized that there were things coming out of my mouth about, I'm so thankful to be a mother. How many people read my article about getting pregnant? And, you know, I went through a lot to have children. And I would tease about Alex, my three-year-old. Her number one quest in life is to be boss. She said, I want to be the boss. John sat her down and explained that he was the boss and I was the boss. And she hadn't but rounded the corner until John hadn't but rounded the corner leaving the room that Alex turned to me with this look and said, he's not the boss. I'm the boss. Well, you know, there were funny things that she would say and do, and I began to realize, the Lord showed me that I began to let things come out of my mouth, really in teasing sometimes, but negatively. And last night, especially, the Lord had already jerked the slack out of me this last year, but even last night when Gloria talked, I was like, you know, we have to ask God to put a guard on our mouth. How many people know if you ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit long enough, you just don't hear? Sometimes I'll say something to John and he'll say, I'm so glad I've got you to tell me what to do. Anybody's husband appreciate them like that? I'm so glad I've got you to tell me what to do instead of the Holy Spirit telling me. And I say, well, look, the Holy Spirit's telling you, and if you'd listen, he wouldn't have to use me. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's just, the point is that, you know, there's things that the Holy Spirit shouldn't have to tell us. There's things that I shouldn't have to tell my five-year-old. I may have to tell my three-year-old. But I shouldn't have to tell my five-year-old. I shouldn't have to tell my five-year-old not to squirt a bottle of toothpaste on the carpet. I shouldn't have to tell him. The point is that we need to grow up. We need to grow up in God. We need to grow up. And this is to God be the glory, is it was quite a walk of faith for me this morning to get up here. And it's funny because God oftentimes, you know, he'll teach us on faith and he'll call us to walk by faith and he'll actually make us walk by faith coming up here speaking. So I begged him, please give me my notes. So I just trust that the Holy Spirit has flowed today. And I will be speech taken. Take up an offering so I can get some speech therapy between now and the next time I speak. I will be taking some speech. No, I'm kidding. I just get a little nervous sometimes. But you know, I just trust that the Holy Spirit has flowed today and that he has, you know, spoken speech. I can't talk. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, I trust that you've gotten something out of this today. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. And if nothing else, if you feel like you're called to speak, if nothing else, you should be encouraged. But if I can get up here and do this, you can do it too. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to just pray over you today. Father, we just praise you for your word. And Lord, we just trust your Holy Spirit that he has taken root in our hearts today with the word of God. Father, we reach for all the promises that are in the word. We are women of faith. And Lord, your word says that we are not a people that draw back. Your word says that without faith it is impossible to please you. Well, Father, it is our heart's desire to please you to the utmost, to please you so much, to be doing well, to be a faithful servant, Father. So, Lord, when we have challenges or we have an opportunity, we decree in Jesus' name that we'll go the way of faith. We'll not be moved by how things look and will not be moved by how things feel, but we will go to your word, find the promises, meditate on your word, confess the promises,
and be the mature women of God that you've called us to be. And we know that as we walk in your word and walk by faith, that we can change people around us by our witness of faith. By our witness of faith. Hallelujah. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to read one last scripture to you if I can find it. I don't know if I even brought the right notes today. Okay, that's not funny. That's not funny. Do I have it? Process of elimination. I have it. My outline was on the very bottom and I never did see it. So it was by faith today. Therefore, inheriting the promises is the outcome of faith. I just want to close with that. It is by faith. We do it all by faith. And we have agreed today in Jesus' name that we're gonna take this word for everything it's worth. And we're going to impact not just our spouses, not just our children, but those around us. And I believe that this meeting this weekend, by this, we're going to impact this city, this state, this country, this nation. Amen? Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. You may be seated for just a minute. Don't you just love Marty? She's so delightful. I could listen to her all day. We're going to take a short 30-minute break, and we're going to try to be back here around 10:50. And so we want you to go out in the lobby. We have some goodies out there. We have more muffins. Didn't you enjoy those muffins this morning? And we have cookies out there for you, so we want you to take advantage of all those things. Also, we have about 150 lunch tickets available. Now, ladies, if you have registered but you have not paid for your lunch, if you pre-registered and you did not pay for your lunch, we're about to give your spot away. So if you have registered but not paid for your lunch and you want to go out and pay for your lunch that you've already registered for, be sure to do that. And if you have not registered and not paid for a lunch, be sure and go out and register. We want to know that all of you are here. We want you to have an opportunity to get a door prize. And so, but if you have decided that you want to go ahead and buy lunch, we have spaces available for you. So make sure you do that. Also, we have another gift for you. I want you to be sure and take advantage of this. I have to tell Gloria that I carry these around with me all the time. These are her scriptures that she prayed over for her home. And we want to share one with each one of you. I do not want you to go home without getting one of these, because they will so bless you. Because it is God's desire, as Marty said this morning, for you to have every desire of your heart. And I know that each one of you have a desire in your heart for a home, don't you? And so I want to make sure that each one of you take one of these home. It will be your seed of faith to believe for the home that God has for you. And I want that for every one of you. Praise God. So be sure that you get back in 30 minutes, because Pastor Terry and I have another door prize to give away, and we'd love to open it for you. So
as we draw near, hear us from heaven, touch our generation.